Hi, I'm Rachel Sheriff and welcome to the Fertility Suite podcast. Our aim is to educate and empower couples who are struggling with all aspects of fertility by giving you the information to make informed decisions along the way. We've had a little rebrand since series one. We were formerly the Fertility Method podcast, but in this second series, rest assured, we still have the same high standard of fertility experts coming to share their knowledge and support you. So if you are struggling with fertility, miscarriage, or you just want to arm yourself with the facts, then this podcast is for you.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Fertility Suite podcast. And joining me today is Emma Harding. And Emma is a reproductive reflexologist, and she actually works in the clinic, the Fertility Suite, with us. So I think reflexology is one of those things that is a little bit misunderstood. So I've got Emma on to come and tell us everything she knows and talk to us a little bit more about how it can support your fertility. So welcome, Emma.
Hi. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Obviously I've introduced you. Do you want to sort of tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you kind of fell into reflexology, I guess?
Yes. So I'm Emma, and to say I'm the reflexologist at the Fertility Suite. And I came into it really through my own journey after receiving it myself. So I had a diagnosis of adenomyosis, and I was looking really for a complementary therapy of some kind to support with managing the symptoms that I was experiencing. One of the first things that put the idea into my mind was I actually had a information sheet given to me by a gynecologist in an NHS setting with information on endometriosis at the time. And it was listed there as something that may help as a complementary therapy. And I thought, okay, maybe it's time to add something else in. So I started having both reflexology and acupuncture fairly regularly, and just found it to be really beneficial, and I still have it now to try and keep things on track. So then after a while, I decided, loved it so much that I was going to train as a reflexologist myself. So I did a course down at the Maureen Burgess School for Reflexology in Sussex, which was great, but I was particularly interested in the women's health and fertility side of things. So I then went on to do a CPD course specifically in reproductive reflexology with Barbara Scott, who some people might have heard of. She's the chair of the Association of Reproductive Reflexologist in the UK, and that was a really good course, which just gave us some grounding in understanding different gynecological conditions, treatments, assisted conception, and also quite a bit on male fertility as well. So that's how I am where I am, really.
Here she is. Isn't that great that on a leaflet from the NHS that they recommended reflexology as a complementary therapy? Like, we times are changing, right?
I think really times are changing. Yeah, I think we're definitely seeing a shift as to what the medical profession see as being beneficial, and you know, they want patients to do well, they want them to feel well, and I think anything that they hear is helping them, they're quite supportive of these days. So yeah, I was surprised to see it, but pleased. Yeah.
Brilliant news. So let's talk a bit more then about how reflexology actually works, because I think if you haven't had it, it might be a really good thing to understand exactly what it's based on and how it might help.
Yeah, so reflexology is a touch therapy, and it's based on the theory that different points or reflexes, as we call them, on the feet in particular, but also on other areas. So the lower legs, the hands, face, ears, you can all have reflex points, that those can correspond to different parts of the body. So that by working on specific reflexes, you can really help to bring things into balance in the rest of the body. And it's really great for getting people into quite a deep state of relaxation, which, you know, especially when they're going through stressful things such as fertility journey, can be really hard to switch yourself off and get yourself deeply relaxed. So I think that's one of the key ways in which we see it working. And it's lovely to see the change in people, even throughout one treatment. You know, you'll find they come in and people are often quite talkative, and we talk about what's going on with them clinically, what's the latest updates. And they get on the couch and they're quite chatty, but as you go through the treatment, they kind of get a bit quieter and a bit sleepier. And then by the end, they're just very zen. So, and it can be hard to get yourself into that state of relaxation. And I just think it's a great way of achieving that. And then in regards to reproductive reflexology, so we use quite specific protocols, so kind of patterns of treatment and different reflexes that we work through, and techniques which just are really tailored to a person's diagnosis, and also what stage they're in of their cycle, if they're having a natural cycle or stage of their fertility treatment. So just for example, if someone was, say, in the lead up to ovulation, there might be a bit more focus on the ovary reflexes and the pituitary reflexes around that time to kind of support a good ovulation if we can. We don't, with reflexology, we don't have amazing large scale research studies to kind of confirm its effectiveness. So we are going more on what we see on kind of a case by case basis in clinic, but I do think that the research landscape is something that will change probably in the next 5 to 10 years or so with regards to reflexology. It's definitely something which is focus for the Association of Reproductive Reflexologists in the UK, and I think we probably will see more coming out in time, which would be great.
Hopefully it will follow suit with acupuncture, right? Like acupuncture in a similar position like 15-20 years ago, where, you know, we were asking for more studies and we're slowly getting there. So yeah, I'm sure it will follow suit, fingers crossed, because I think, like you said, we know what we see in clinic, right? Like we've seen really good success with, certainly for example, women who have ovulatory disorders or issues with ovulation. We found reflexology really beneficial, haven't we? So I think it, you know, we can only go by what we can see in clinic at the moment. I think it was interesting what you said as well about getting people into that relaxed state, because when you're at home and you're, you know, you, people go, oh, I'm just gonna go and lay on the sofa for half an hour. Nowadays you're either on your phone or you're thinking about what you should be doing. Actually, just switching off and getting your body into that like regulated cortisol state and like bringing the nervous system down a notch, actually you can often need the help of someone else, and physical touch is a great way to make that happen, right?
Yeah, I find it's really great at stopping that kind of running commentary of, right, I should be doing this next, I need to do this, what else am I, you know? And that can be constant, can't it, with a fertility journey. And yeah, I find when I have reflexology myself, it just switches all of that off. And people say they often sleep really well the night after or for longer even. And yeah, you definitely feel super relaxed after having it.
Yeah. So what sorts of things have you seen? Like we've talked a little bit about patients where they've not been ovulating, we've seen success with. Can you talk a little bit more about that? And then other things that you have seen have success with in clinic, in relation to women's health?
So for example, patients perhaps who have polycystic ovarian syndrome, where the cycles maybe are quite irregular, so perhaps sometimes ovulation is happening, sometimes it isn't. By following our kind of specific protocols for PCOS, we're really aiming to stimulate and encourage ovulation and a good ovulation. So we might see, for example, that the cycles start to shorten a bit and we're getting confirmation of that kind of regular ovulation that wasn't there before. People are up for it, and we can use things like the temperature charting as well to confirm that. So I'd say improving the regularity of the cycles is a big one. And then for other conditions, so if it is something like endometriosis or adenomyosis, and people were maybe experiencing symptoms of pain and discomfort. Again, we have some quite nice reports of some reduction in those symptoms. Just really focusing for those people on the uterus reflexes and kind of clearing those as much as possible. When you feel it as a reflexologist, when you're feeling these different reflexes, you might feel that an area is kind of a bit bumpy or a bit sort of stagnant. And then as you work over it, that clears, which is always quite satisfying. So it's similar in the way, I guess, to if you're having a massage and those areas that are really knotted, and then you work on it and then that releases and that feels really good. For things like endometriosis and adenomyosis, looking at supporting with the pain and other symptoms that they might be experiencing. So sometimes there's gastrointestinal symptoms, bladder symptoms, and all of those areas will have reflexes too that we can work on as well.
I think people, when we think about like fertility and gynae conditions, like it's very easy to like separate that from the rest of the body from a patient perspective. And actually something you just mentioned is really important, like gastrointestinal symptoms. Like it's really important when you're struggling to conceive that you are having a poo every day, right? And if you're not pooing every day, then you're going to have issues detoxing hormones. You know, that signifies for practitioners that there's a lot else going on. So even though from a patient's perspective, after having a treatment like reflexology or acupuncture, they might not really go, I'm going for a poo every day, that's so much better for my fertility. From a practitioner perspective, we're like, yay, that's a big win. We're definitely improving the overall picture, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. All of those things are so, so important, and important for how you're feeling, you know, in yourself. You don't want to feel constipated. You know, if you're having a lot of pain around your abdomen, it's not great if you're on top of that, having gastro symptoms too. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I have to say I've been blown away a little bit with the, the results in clinic with the ovulatory issues. You know, I've had some really good
And I think what's been quite nice in our clinic as well is that we're able to move people from acupuncture and reflexology and vice versa. I have both, and I think they work quite well together. Sometimes I think if you're struggling to maybe get a result that you want with one or the other, actually using a combination has been really nice.
It's also nice to have the choice, right? And actually for some people, like I think acupuncture is like you said at the beginning, like it's a bit more evidence, it's a bit more documented. So therefore people who are struggling with fertility might be more inclined to choose acupuncture. But I've certainly had patients over the years that have come in and you can see they're not enjoying it. Like they're just not enjoying it. It's not therapy for them. And to be able to offer another option in the clinic and say, look, you know, I can see you're not really enjoying this, or why don't you try some reflexology? And for them then to come over to you and be like, oh yeah, this, I'm really enjoying this, I find it so much more relaxing and enjoyable, like that's really powerful, right? To be able to have another option, because there's nothing worse than having something because you feel like you should, like you should be enjoying it and getting the benefit at the same time.
Absolutely.
It's really important. So what about people who like might be in the early stages of pregnancy, or they're thinking about coming and thinking, how might it support pregnancy? Or what happens if I get pregnant? Can I still come? And then in terms of the cycle as well, like, is there a better time to come in the cycle? Or like, how many times would you need to see someone to get like an effect, like timing, basically?
So yes, it is perfectly safe for early pregnancy for the vast majority of people. There's a few quite specific and rarer situations in which it might be contraindicated. So for example, if somebody had a deep vein thrombosis, you know, it perhaps wouldn't be, but your reflexologist would always run through with you any history that would be contraindicated. So yes, for the majority of people it would be suitable in early pregnancy, and again we follow quite a specific protocol for that time. I tend to give really quite gentle treatments in early pregnancy. and it's very much considered safe. I think, you know, similar to what you're saying with acupuncture, if you're someone where you think it would cause you more anxiety, then don't have it, or perhaps wait until further along in pregnancy, because there's no point in causing yourself more worry. But yeah, if you've enjoyed it so far and you'd like to continue, I would say people again feel very relaxed. It's great for your sleep if you're starting to struggle with that as pregnancy progresses. And just sometimes for anxiety, if people are really quite anxious and worried in those early stages, again, it can be great for getting you relaxed and just reducing some of that stress. And then in regards to what's optimal timing, really, I mean, the absolute ideal would be to see people weekly initially to really help to regulate the cycle. Obviously that's not possible for everyone, and whatever you can do is better than nothing. And then once you've kind of done those initial, perhaps more regular treatments, you can drop back to more of a maintenance treatment. And the ideal for that would be the week before ovulation leading up to it, and kind of encourage a good ovulation. And then also during a period, so we're kind of treating as close to ovulation before as we can, and then perhaps ideally 5 to 7 days afterwards as well. And then there's also men. So occasionally men will come for treatments.
He's a hard sell, right?
They're a hard sell, yeah. but if they do come, you know, they're welcome to come weekly, fortnightly, whatever they can do. And because of the time it takes for sperm to develop and reach maturity, you know, the absolute ideal for men would be 3 months before trying to conceive as a minimum. But yeah, we don't see a lot of men, but there's a few that come through.
Again, that's something the tide's changing, starting slowly to change a little bit with, is that we're much more aware of the importance of the male side of things for fertility. I think something you said was really important to sort of flag, in that, you know, it's really good to know that it's safe to have these therapies in early pregnancy, because actually the anxiety level in early pregnancy, certainly if you've had a loss previously, can be just as difficult as trying to conceive, right? Like, it can be just as stressful, if not more. So if there's anything you can do in early pregnancy to help reduce that cortisol, regulate, you know, the nervous system, then why would you not do it, sort of thing? It's really beneficial, right? So if it's safe, yeah, definitely consider it for early pregnancy. What about in later pregnancy for things like birth prep, out of interest? Like, how does that tie in?
Yeah, similarly, you can do some specific treatments right towards the end of pregnancy, kind of preparing the body for birth, I guess. And, you know, it might be things like working on the sort of lower spine and the hip areas, and kind of getting all of that as relaxed as possible. And really, reflexology is just nudging the body along to do what we want it to do anyway. So, you know, some people do like to come and see if things are going on longer than they would like, and they're getting to full term. They might come with the kind of idea of, can we nudge things along a bit? And there are treatments that you can do for that. But I would say that really we're only supporting the body and what it's going to do anyway. You know, we're not usually going to make you suddenly go into labor by having a reflexology treatment, but again, just very supportive at that stage, good for your sleep and the general feeling of well-being.
Yeah, that can be another time of anxiety, right? Certainly if it's your first child, so you don't really know what's going on. It's good to know. So then what if people were coming to you for like a first appointment, like what could they expect? Like, what sort of things are you going to ask them? Like, is there anything they would need to know in terms of like what to bring, what to do, like any specific?
Yeah, so on that initial appointment, we spend quite a bit of time gathering information to start with. So just a really thorough history, you know, what you've had going on in the past medically, what your cycles are like currently, what they have been like in the past. If you're going through assisted reproduction, then how where you're at in that stage of things. But really, it's a very non-invasive treatment. So essentially, we get you onto the couch and you're clothed. All you need to do is take off your shoes and your socks and maybe just roll up the lower end of your trousers if you've got them on. And then we start the treatment. So we do a bit of an assessment of how the feet are looking and feeling. So sometimes the colour of the feet and the temperature can tell us a few things. And then we do an assessment of the reproductive reflexes, which are mainly down in sort of the heel area of the feet. So we're feeling those reflexes and those points to see if everything feels kind of how we would expect it to feel at that stage in your cycle. So for example, just before a period, you might expect the uterus point to feel quite kind of full and plump. And then as a bleed starts and progresses, it sort of starts to feel a bit more empty. So we're kind of just assessing how everything feels. Then we work through our protocols, kind of working on those different reflexes. And it should, you know, it should feel firm. It shouldn't feel ticklish. It's quite a firm pressure. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I don't like my feet being touched. I'm really ticklish. Can't bear that. And I'm someone who's very ticklish with my feet as well, but I love reflexology and it's, you know, it is firm and it won't feel ticklish. And you can say what you like and what you don't like as well. You know, don't be afraid to say to your reflexologist, or I quite like firmer pressure, or I'd really rather you go a bit gentler today because they want you to enjoy it too. So, we often ask about pressure and what people like. And then we just work across the feet really and make sure you're comfortable, the music's on, the heat lamp,
we love the heat lamp.
It might be over your feet if your feet are on the colder side, or sometimes over your abdomen. And just get you really relaxed, really
in the zen zone. So you mentioned IVF and like assisted reproductive techniques. So obviously, we talked about like when it would be good for people to come in a normal cycle and early pregnancy and things. But if someone's having IVF, are there specific points that you would want to see someone? Because I know there are for acupuncture. Like, is it the same with reflexology?
Yeah. So for treatment for IVF, again, ideally, we'd be looking at a weekly treatment. So when you're down-regulating, you would see a client until the start of the bleed. And just continue that two or three times, depending on how long it takes the client to downregulate. And then ideally we would treat again during the client's bleed, if possible, to have kind of a clearing effect at that time. And then when stimulating, again, we would treat weekly during that time. And if people are struggling to respond whilst taking the stimulating drugs, there's also sometimes some kind of homework we can give people to do a bit of self-stimulation on hand reflex points. So even if you can't get into clinic at that time, doing a little bit of supportive work at home can be great. And then after egg collection or after transfer, you know, often if people are feeling quite sore and uncomfortable, that can be a good time just to work on supporting some of those symptoms of discomfort too.
Brilliant. And then what about in the 2-week wait? I mean, we talked about early pregnancy. Like, I mean, acupuncture is perfectly safe in the 2-week wait. Like, is it the same for reflexology? Like, you're just treating someone as if they're pregnant, right?
Yes, exactly that. So about the protocol that we would use at that stage and in early pregnancy is essentially the same. So you're just doing quite a gentle and supportive treatment. But people often do like to come at that time. And again, quite an anxious time for people. It can be good for
really good. Fab. Yeah, I mean, like there's a lot of evidence around acupuncture and IVF outcomes. So, you know, who knows, maybe we'll have some more studies in reflexology and IVF outcome that will be soon. So, yeah. So yeah. Thanks. That's been amazing. So how do people like find you if they want to book or if they've got any other questions? What I'm going to do is like, everything you say, I will pop in the episode notes as well. So for anyone listening, if you want to contact Emma, look in the episode notes and I'll link the ways to contact her. But what is that best way, Emma?
So you can book through the Fertility Suite website for appointments here in Oxford in Surrey. And then I'm also on Instagram just as Reflexology with Emma, or one word, three words together.
Fab. Okay, great. I will pop all those details in the episode notes for anyone that has any more questions or interest in reflexology. But thank you. That's been really informative. And yeah, we will see you soon.
Thank you. See you soon.